Over the last five parts of this series, we've gone from defining what purpose is to defining who gives us our purpose. Of course, that's the Lord. We have spoken about tools, the fact that He has given us certain abilities to carry out purpose. And we looked at Scripture, going over five tenets, foundations of purpose. So some of you might be asking this question, after hearing all five parts, why am I still having trouble figuring out my purpose? And that brings us to part six, barriers to finding purpose. Many people, even if they identify their gifts, they have a feeling of wanting to do something. They know they should. It's a very strong feeling in some people. They still can't seem to get started. And that's because they have barriers in their life that are preventing them from fulfilling their purpose. One of these is confusion. People oftentimes ask themselves, how do I know if what I'm doing or want to do is the right thing? And it's a valid question. We have a sin nature, and sometimes it is difficult to know whether we are doing something for ourselves or for the Lord. So let's go through this. Let's ask some questions and see if maybe this doesn't help you understand if you are doing it for the right reasons. First, does what you want to do glorify God or you? Second, is it for your benefit or His? Now you may ask yourself, what do you mean by benefiting me or Him? How do we benefit the Lord? He doesn't need anything. Well, let's go to Scripture. Maybe this will clarify it a little bit better. This is Matthew 25, and we'll start in, how about verse 32? Now, this is from the New King James Version. This is a little bit more modern English here. Let's go ahead and read it. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's how it benefits the Lord. Third, is what you want to do damaging in some way to your body or spirit? Now, we're not talking about saving someone, the old adage, a soldier throwing himself on a grenade to save his men. We're talking about endangering your body or spirit in terms of sin. Fourth, is it for pleasure, which is the flesh, or joy, the spirit? That's not to say that everything pleasurable is sinful, but it should not be the main goal. The goal should be joy, which is eternal. The flesh will pass away. The spirit lasts forever. Five, does it or the benefits derived from it have lasting, meaning eternal, results? Six, are you depressed in your current situation? You go back to the Bible, those who suffered persecution rejoiced at being counted worthy of suffering for the name. Suffering in and of itself does not make you depressed, nor does pleasure necessarily make you happy. There are many people out there with a lot of wealth, many pleasurable things, who are deeply depressed. 7. Would you or do you have a sense of satisfaction or accomplishment from what you do or would do? This goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about that runner's high, that gift from God, which tells you that you're on the right track. 8. Am I anxious or content? Paul said to the Philippians that he had learned to be content in all that he was going through. 9. Do you feel in control or controlled by others? Now, this does not mean controlled by God. We are made of him and for him. Like a loving parent who controls his child, we who are controlled by God, who submit to him, actually have a greater sense of peace. I'm speaking of being controlled by those who don't own you, but want to own you for evil, selfish purposes. We could look at things like an evil government trying to control you, not for the good of the people, but for their own power, for their own lusts, for their own greed. If you've answered negatively on most or all of these 9 questions, then you definitely are not doing the right thing and living the life the Lord wants for you. If this is you, you now have to ask, if I'm living the wrong way, why am I still here? Why am I still in a situation that I loathe? Now, there are several reasons. First, fear. We're afraid of possible consequences, afraid of financial ruin if I leave my job. Fear that it's actually worse out there than where I'm at. The fear of change. But you know something the Bible says? Don't be afraid. In fact, in the King James, the Bible says, fear not or be not afraid 103 times. Fear is not from the Lord. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of confidence and strength. Second is doubt. Doubting the abilities that we were given. Now, this is different than fear. Fear is about outside things. Doubt is internal. Doubt is in your mind. We doubt that God will provide if we quit our job or leave our present circumstance. James 1:6 says that the one who doubts is like a wave that is driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says, that man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Third is complacency. Low motivation to change, even though we gripe. I know what to expect in my current situation. I'm comfortable, even if I hate it, so I don't want to change, is one excuse. Or we don't like change. This is different than fear of it. Just like doubt, this is internal. This is an emotional response. 4, we're self-focused. It's about my comfort or well-being, especially financially, rather than about the greater good, meaning the benefits to others, including glorifying God. In other words, I don't want to lose what I have. So what can I do to overcome? What's holding me back? Get on the right track. First, understand that you were created by God and for God, and that you are not an accident. It's exactly what we talked about earlier. There is no evolution. We were created, specifically, by a divine and holy being who wants to be our Father. Since this is so, you have a meaningful purpose to be here. Don't miss out on it. Second, realize that you cannot be anything that you want to be. This goes against all conventional human wisdom. But as the Bible says, human wisdom is really no wisdom at all. It is tainted by human pride and ego. Therefore, it will be slanted towards what sinful man wants to happen, not the actual truth. As I said in part 4, an airplane cannot be used as a backhoe any more than a backhoe can fly like an airplane. Each is designed and built for a specific purpose. Trying to go outside that purpose will have very bad consequences. Don't think so? Try and drive off the cliff in a backhoe and take flight. See what happens. We are built by our designer and creator for a specific purpose. Go outside that purpose and bad things are going to happen. Things like fear, doubt, anxiety, and finally, failure. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord. Now that doesn't mean we can do all things, period. Yes, God can give you some abilities that seem to be outside of what he created you for. Just as some birds can swim underwater like a fish and some fish can fly above the water like a bird. But the birds that swim don't swim for very long and the fish that fly don't fly for very long. It doesn't take long for the birds to have to leave the water and resume flying and for the fish to quit flying and dive back underwater. If they don't, they'll die. So God giving these particular birds and fish some extra abilities doesn't mean that they suddenly can do whatever they want. The diving birds are still birds, and flying fish are still fish. Even though for short periods of time they can leave their traditional roles for the vast majority of their lives, they still have to conform to what they are. It's the same for us. I've heard people say many times that you need to get outside of your comfort zone. Now, that may be true if you really want to do something. I'm speaking, of course, about something constructive, not destructive and sinful. And the only thing holding you back is the fear of the unknown. Yes, get out of your comfort zone and try new things. But getting out of your comfort zone does not mean getting out of your ability zone. If you're not an accomplished juggler, trying to juggle chainsaws is probably not a good idea. We need to know our gifts, but we also need to know our limitations. Knowing both of these will put you on a track to begin finding your purpose. Doing all things for the Lord will keep you on track to accomplish your purpose.